إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا أما بعد Today inshallah we would like to begin to look at the Usul Sunnah by Imam Ahmad. If I'm not mistaken, I think, Yani, this was something that we've seen some of it before. But at the insistence of our brothers, inshallah, we'll do the whole thing again. Inshallah. Perhaps there'll be some benefit in the repetition. This particular work by Imam Ahmad, he starts out by saying التمسك وصول السنة عندنا التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that the foundations of the Sunnah is adhering to, sticking to with the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم upon. And you know who the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who they were. And the definition given for a sahabi. A sahabi is man laqiya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mu'minan bihi wa mata ala al-islam. One who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a state of iman and he died on Islam. This is a sahabi. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said a number of things about his companions, but Allah also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran praises the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Surah At-Tawbah, verse 100, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ This particular verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the forerunners. السابقون الأولون from amongst the muhajirin, the immigrants and the ansar and those who follow them in goodness. The forerunners in Islam amongst the muhajirin and the ansar, the helpers and those who follow them in goodness, that Allah is pleased with them, and they with Him. And He has prepared for them jannatin, He has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers flow to abide therein forever. That is the supreme success. Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi, the person who does the sharh of Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, he says, that the sabiqun, the forerunners from amongst the muhajirin and the ansar, mentioned in this verse, that those are the ones who spent before Fath Makkah, and those who participated in what they call Bay'atul Ridwan, during the time of Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the pledge with the companions, there were about 1,400 of them. All of those people, all of those companions, those who participated in Badr, all those who accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until Fatih. Those who participated in Hudaybiyah, all of those are considered the forerunners in Islam, about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse, that He is pleased with them and they with Him. Not only this, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out in this verse that whoever follows them, that he shall be pleased with them, or he is. Normally, when you use the past tense of the verb in this way, it is yani dilala ala tahaqquq al-wuqu', yani that something has already taken place, even though it has not yet occurred. The past tense benefits us in this way, that this shall happen. No doubt that Allah will be pleased with you if you are on the manhaj and the way of the Sahaba. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to Imran ibn Hussein, he said, "Khayru ummati qarni," yani ashabi, the best of my ummah is my companions. Qarni, according to the Shurah, like a Nawawi and others, they said, what is meant by qarn here? The companions. The best of my ummah, qarni, yani ashabi. Then those who come after them, and then those who come next to them. These are the best, not only in terms of character, not only in terms of understanding, but in everything else in this ummah. That the companions are the best of this ummah in terms of their understanding of the Qur'an, their understanding of the sunnah, their application of the Qur'an, their application of the sunnah, and in their character generally, the best of this ummah, period, are the companions. No other generation after them understood the sunnah, understood the Qur'an like they did. They had the teacher, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam points out in this particular narration the best of this ummah and all that it implies. He doesn't say that they were best in character. He just said the best. And this is an indication that they were best in every which way. That is why nothing specific was specified. These are the companions. If we understand that, then we understand why one of the methodologies or the aspect of our aqidah and manhaj, as Imam Ahmad said, we adhere to what the companions were upon. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, سَأَلَ رَجُلٍ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. A man, he questioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And he said to him, أَيُّ النَّاسِ خَيْرٍ. Who amongst mankind is best? The Prophet's response, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, القرن الذي أنا فيهم. He says, the people amongst whom I am upon. The people that are with me. That is mankind in general. As a group, there's no group of individuals ever that will like the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Ayyun nas, period. Who amongst mankind, period, are best? Says قرن الذي أنا فيهم, his generation amongst whom Allah sent him, the companions. And then he said, ثم الثاني ثم الثالث. Then the second, meaning the second generation, those that are taught by me, those that I teach, then those who the companions teach, those who the students of the companions teach, these people are best. This particular narration was collected by Muslim. The first one was by both Bukhari and Muslim. And Nawawi, rahimahullah, he said, this statement, qarn, he mentions that this is an agreement. اتفق العلماء. There is an agreement amongst the Ahlul Ilm that what is intended by Qarn here, as Sahaba. No doubt about it. They're the best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described the companions and he likened them the way he was to them, that they should be like that to the ummah after him. Abi Burda, he narrates from his father, he says, صلينا المغرب مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قلنا. We prayed with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم المغرب. And then we said, لو جلسنا, why don't we sit حتى نصلي معه العشاء. Why don't we sit until we wait for him and for عشاء. Just wait a bit. قال فجلسنا فخرج. We sat and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kharaja alayna, he came to us. فَقَالَ مَا زَلْتُمْ هَهُنَا. Are you still here? قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّيْنَا مَعَكَ الْمَغْرِبِ. We pray with you Maghrib. And then we said, why don't we sit until we pray with you Isha? He said, أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَوْ أَصَبْتُمْ. We have done good, I have done what is correct. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his head to the sky. رَفَعَ رَأْسُهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Why do you think he was looking at the sky? مَنْ فِي جِهَةِ الْعُلُوِ. Who is in the direction above? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people say Allah is everywhere, right? Yeah, that's what some of them say. If you ever hear the word al-fana fi Allah, that the Sufis use. Al-fana fi Allah, or al-ittihad wal-hulul, being one with Allah, that implies that Allah is everywhere and in everything. That implies that Allah is everywhere and everything. That was not the creed that we get in the Quran, and it was not the aqeedah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not the aqeedah of the Sahaba, and it was not the aqeedah of the A'immah. None of them. Period. Yet we had some people saying, "Mal kalbu wal khinziru illa ilahuna." What is a dog and a pig other than Allah? Because to them, every expression, everything that you see was Allah. مَا عَبَدَ الْمَجُوزَ النَّارِ إِنَّمَا عَبَدُ اللَّهَ الْوَاحِدَ الْقَهَارِ. The fire worshippers, they didn't worship the fire. The fire is only a byproduct of Allah that they were worshipping. They worship Allah, the irresistible. That type of shirk is worse than even the fire worshippers, worse than the Hindus. At least the Hindus got a million gods. At least a little bit more than a million. But these, everything you see is Allah. And that's one of the dangers of not understanding the aqidah of the Salaf. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to raise his head to the sky. You know, and remember, he asked that servant girl in the hadith of Muawiyah bin Hakam al-Sulami, "Ain Allah? Where is Allah?" What did the servant girl say? "Fis sama." He says, "Fis sama," yani فوق السماء. He's above the sky. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "Man ana? Who am I?" أنت رسول الله أعتقها فإنها مؤمنة فيا. This lady is a believer. This statement of hers, if it was incorrect, this is in Muslim, in another collection. If this statement was incorrect, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would have corrected her. If her statement Allah was above was incorrect, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have shut it down, corrected, because he was raised up to correct the people's creed. He kept silent about it, which means that her aqidah was right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do that. He says, وَكَانَ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا يَرْفَعُ رَأْسَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. And a lot of times he used to raise his head up to the sky. A lot of times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do that. فقال النجوم أمنة للسماء. Says the stars are a source of security and safety for the sky. And as long as you see the stars up there, then the sky will remain intact. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَإِذَا ذَهَبَتِ النُّجُومُ أَتَى السَّمَاءُ مَا تُوعَدُ. And once these stars disappear, what has been promised, the sky will come to pass. We know what Allah has said in the Quran. He says, وَأَنَا أَمَنَةٌ لِأَصْحَابِي. I am a source of security to my companions. There will be no trials and tribulations amongst themselves as long as I'm here. فَإِذَا ذَهَبْتُ أَتَى أَصْحَابِ مَا يُعَدُونَ. And if I go, then what has been promised, my companion shall come upon me. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَصْحَابِ أَمَنَةٌ لِأُمَّتِ. My companions are a source of safety and security for my ummah. فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ أَصْحَابِ أَتَى أُمَّتِ مَا يُعَدُونَ. When they go, then what has been promised, my ummah shall come upon them of innovations. Al-bid'ah. والانحرافات, innovations, going away from the manhaj that Allah has sent now for the people to be upon, they shall come upon the people. In this particular narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam likens the companions to the people after, during their time, the way he was to his companions, a source of guidance and protection. And it is for this reason that a part of the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that when we look at our creed, we prefer the understanding that the Prophet ﷺ gave the companions over the understanding of the people who come after them. No matter how intelligent a person is, no matter how much language he has, how eloquent he is, don't you know that all those people who write the dictionaries, they take it from the language of the Sahaba? They are the source of the lexicographers, the people who write the dictionaries. They are the source that they depend on to understand what the Arabic is. So they had 2, 3, 4 different privileges and statuses above the people. Tayyib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when speaking about the importance of this methodology, the importance of following this pathway, we have in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 115, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever shows opposition to the messenger, whoever shows opposition to the messenger, this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after guidance has been made clear to him, and he follows other than the way of the believers. When the Quran was revealed, who the believers were? It was the Sahaba. If the definite article here on mu'mineen is not fa'ad, yani something that is well known, it definitely does not exclude the Sahaba. So the Ahlul Ilm agree that when this, everybody, I mean, all you have to do is reflect, when this was coming down, the only believers on the face of this earth were the companions. Allah above the seven heavens says, look, whoever shows opposition to the sunnah and what these companions are upon, you will leave him and what he chooses for himself and put him in the fire. If this is not sufficient evidence for the believing people who have some intellect to understand that, look, the methodology that Allah has laid out has been defined for us. The manhaj for us to use in prioritizing things to get an understanding has been laid out by Allah. We don't have to guess about it. When people differ and people want to understand what is correct, you don't have to guess about what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to look. Allah has laid it out and the Prophet ﷺ has made it clear to you, to the believers, what you're supposed to do and the methodology that you're supposed to take when approaching understanding the deen. We have this particular verse, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he gives an explanation of this verse here. And he says, whoever differs with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, we differ with the Prophet in a lot of ways, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We look at a sunnah, and then we look at an imam. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did something. We see that the imam is doing something else. We say, I hear what you're saying, but the imam said. You look at the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray. You look at the imam. You say, I see what Allah's messenger did, but the imam is doing something else. I'm with the imam. People show opposition to the Prophet ﷺ in a lot of ways. The Prophet ﷺ conducted himself in this way, but the Imam says, the Madhab says, as if Allah revealed the Madhab. Man, if you look in this Quran from Fatiha to Nas, you show me a Madhab in there other than the Madhab that Allah has revealed. This particular thing the Shaykh says, وَمَنْ يُخَالِفُ الرَّسُولِ, whoever differs with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَيُعَانِدُهُ, and is stubborn about it, in what he brings, after the truth and guidance has been made clear to him, evidences from the Qur'an, براهين القرآنية والبراهين النبوية, from the Qur'anic evidences and that of the Sunnah. And he chooses after that, a way other than the way of the believers, سبيلهم, their way, the Shaykh says, هو طريقتهم في عقائدهم وعمالهم. This is their way in their creed and in their actions, their manhaj in terms of life, which you do. A person chooses other than their way, says, نولهم. We shall give him what he chooses for himself. Give him what he chooses for himself. He says, Naturuku, we shall leave him alone. Yani what it means that, look, when you go outside of the context of the sunnah, when you go outside of the manhaj of the salaf, you go outside, when we say salaf, who are we talking about? We're talking, first of all, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then who? The companions. Then who? The tabi'een and those who follow them. That's all we're talking about. I mean, if you understand the terminologies, don't be simple-minded. You know what you're talking about. Talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Talking about the sahaba and the tabi'een and the atba'i tabi'een. Here, Allah says if you choose another way, He will leave you alone. Meaning you have no assistance with Allah. Could you imagine if Allah leaves us alone? I mean, if Allah leaves us alone, what help and assistance can you have? If Allah is against you. نَتُرُكُهُ, we leave him alone. It says وَاخْتِيَارِهِ وَمَخْتَارَهُ لِنَفْسِهِ, what he chooses for himself. This is what the verse means. And we leave him aside and وَلَا نُوَثِّقُهُ لِلْخَيْرِ, and we do not give him success in that which is good. لِكَوْنِهِ رَى الْحَقِّ وَعَلِمَهُ وَتَرَكَهُ, because he knew the truth and he left it alone. says, يَفَجَزَأْهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ and his reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala عَدْلًا أَنْ يُبَقِيَهُ فِي ضَلَالِهِ حَائِرًا is to leave him in his misguidance. The just reward from Allah is to leave him in his misguidance, in a state of confusion. In a state of confusion. وَيَزْدَادُ ضَلَالًا and to increase in misguidance. The Shaykh says, and the statement of Allah, وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ أَيْ نُعَذِّبُهُ فِيهَا عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا that we shall punish him therein. An extreme punishment. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا أَيْ مَرْيَعًا and what an evil return or end for this individual. طيب. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Saadi, he says, وَهَذَا الْوَعِيدُ الْمُتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى الشِّقَاقِ ومخالفة المؤمنين مراتب لا يحصيها إلا الله. Says this show in opposition to the way of the believers, the way of the Sahaba. It has different levels. Some are extreme, some are not so extreme, and the different levels, only Allah can encompass all of them. And this is according to the level of the sin, حالت الدم صغرا وكبرا, smallness or greatness. This then, Allah warns the brothers and sisters, look, in our lives, in our aqidah, in our belief system, don't go outside the Quran and the Sunnah and what the Sahaba understood the Quran and the Sunnah to be. Don't go outside of that. Otherwise, Allah will leave us to ourselves. If you're trying to build a community that will have some barakah, Allah is telling you it has to be on the straight path. It has to be on the Quran and the Sunnah. No innovations, not the smallest type of innovations, but on what Allah has revealed. And there will be khayr. But if we introduce the slightest deviation from that, then we start to move back from the barakah that is coming down. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرْكُمْ If you aid Allah, meaning Allah's deen, then Allah will assist you. Otherwise, we have no assistance, actually. We have a narration. And this particular narration actually points out the importance, or it points out why it is necessary for the Muslims to know that, look, not every Muslim in his creed, not every Muslim in his manhaj, his methodology of belief is correct. If we Muslims think that, okay, just because someone says he's a Muslim, he's alright, and you can invite him in, he can say anything, or do anything, and that's alright, then your understanding is not real good. Look, the Prophet ﷺ in this particular narration, this narration here that we have, there are a few narrations similar to this, but the narration that we're going to quote is collected by Ibn Majah in his Sunan. Ibn Majah, he says, حَدَثَنَا عَمْرَ بِنْ عُثْمَانِ بِنْ سَعِيدِ بِنْ كَثِيرِ بِنْ دِنَارِ This person, the Ahlul Ilm of Hadith, he said, هُوَ ثِقَةٌ يعني his narration is sound. This was the Shaykh of Ibn Majah. He narrates, he says, حَدَثَنَا عَبَّادِ بِنْ يُوسُفِ عَبَّادِ بِنْ يُوسُفِ also, this is عَبَّادِ بِنْ يُوسُفِ الْكِنْدِ عَبُوْ عُثْمَانِ He's also ثِقَةٌ يعني a trustworthy person whose narration is sound. He says, حَدَثَنَا صَفْوَانِ بِنْ عَمْرِ صَفْوَانِ بِنْ عَمْرِ أَبُوْ عَمْرِ الْحِمْصِي is also considered a trustworthy person whose hadith is sound. He narrates from Rashid ibn Sa'd. Rashid ibn Sa'd al-Himsi al-Tabi'i. He is one of the students of the companions. He's also sound, his narrations is considered authentic. He says, from Awf ibn Malik, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, that Allah's messenger said. You know, sometimes people wonder, you know, why are the scholars of hadith, why do they have this chain of narration from the person who collects the book all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why is it that they have preserved books where they tell you the history of each one of these individuals and what his dhabt was like, his accuracy in retaining and reproducing the text? Why do they do that? So that you can know that this is something that is sound. And this is one of the ways that Allah has protected His deen, this particular deen of ours. No other religion has that. They don't have it for their religious book, much less the statement of their prophets. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this ummah with the senate, a chain that takes us back to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know the history of the people, we know whether he was a liar, whether his mama was a liar, whether his dad was no good, we have all of that. And you know who his teacher was. You know his character, and you know whether he made a few mistakes, whether he made a lot of mistakes, so you're cautious. He made a few mistakes, his narration comes down a bit. He makes a little bit more, you can't accept it. Unless there is a supportive evidence from over here to strengthen this person up. This is why some of the scholars used to say, Al-Isnad min ad-Din. The chain is a part of the deen. And if it wasn't for the chain, people would say whatever they want to say. But you look in some of the books, they tell you, the scholars of hadith say, let me hear what the chain is. And you say, Fulan says, Nana, huwa kadhabun, he's a liar. Person comes and says, but I read it in this book. Okay, which book is it? Which book is it? Well, I read it in that book over there. It has a chain? Nah, we don't even know who collected it. But it's in that book. This particular chain is sound. He said, Auf ibn Malik said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة فواحدة في الجنة وسبعون في النار. The Jews differed amongst themselves into 71 different groups. One in Jannah and 70 in the fire. Now you think those people didn't have teachers? They didn't have so-called shuyukh? They used to come and break it down to them? Tell them what the hidden meaning of the text was? They had all of that. Why was it that only one was in Jannah and everybody else going to the fire? They didn't follow the way of the Prophet that Allah sent. They didn't follow the way of Musa. They started to introduce their intellect, what I think, what I feel, and they started to introduce into Allah's deen that which was not of it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, وَافْتَرَقَتِ النَّصَارَ عَلَىٰ ثَنْتَيْنِ وَالسَّبْعِينَ فِرْقًا. The Christians added one more, 72. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَإِحْدَ وَالسَّبْعُونَ فِي النَّارِ, 71 in the fire, وَوَاحِدَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Why you think they went to the fire? They were obedient to Allah? Or maybe their belief system was like the belief of Isa? That's why they're in the fire? No way. They went outside of what Allah revealed, how you should believe, how you should conduct yourself, how you should worship Allah, and they started to introduce things. They said, man, don't worry about that. You don't have to be so serious about those little things. Why are you always talking about bid'ah? It's alright. It ain't alright if it's gonna land you up in the fire. Must not be nothing good about being burnt. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming now to speak about this ummah of ours, the Muslims. And he swears by Allah, all the other ones he just talked about. But come to this ummah, the Muslims, He swears by Allah, by Him in whose hand, I swear by Him in whose hand is my soul. That's emphasis. Then he says, لَتَفْتَرِقَنَّ. That's نُونُ تَوْكِيد. That's for emphasis. Yani double and triple emphasis. That this ummah will be divided into 73. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَتَفْتَرِقَنَّ أُمَّتِ عَلَى 73 فِرْقَ. To 73. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَاحِدَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَإِثْنَتَانِ وَسَبْعُونَ فِي النَّارِ. One in paradise, and 72 in the fire. Now, if that doesn't cause us to be cautious about the people we call in, and that we allow ourselves to teach us, or to listen to, you want to be cautious, man. What is your methodology? Where are you taking your source from? What is it? And if you're in doubt about what he's upon, he should not teach anybody. Period. As a matter of fact, we as Muslims, when we pick up a book to read, you don't allow anything to go into your head, just anything. You want to make sure you read the works of the people of the Sunnah. Those people that you know, when they start talking, they're going to be saying, قال الله, قال رسول الله, قال صحابته. When people differ and they start talking about innovations, nah, Allah's messenger warned against it. If it was not there during his time, we don't want it in our time. If people are not on that minhaj, you don't want them teaching you nothing. Period. Because we know what the Prophet ﷺ taught us about when he spoke about this straight path. Ibn Mas'ud, he said that the Prophet ﷺ, one day he stood amongst us and he drew a straight line. No crookedness to it, just one straight line. He says, هَذَا سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ. This is Allah's path. And then he drew some other lines on the side, to the right and to the left. He says, هَذِي سُبُلْ مُتَفَرِّقَةً. These are diverse ways. وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ سَبِيلٍ مِنْهَا شَيْطَانٌ يَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ. And at the head of every one of these diverse pathways, there is a devil calling. You think a devil is going to call you if you're a Muslim and say, be a Christian? Nah, he's going to come in the name of Islam so that you could believe what he's saying is correct. But we have guidance to see, you know, to give us some clarity. You know, you analyze, see what he's talking about and where is such and such. You can say, oh no, this person is on the Sunnah. And if he ain't on the Sunnah, he got to bounce. Yeah. We have some of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but before that, we'd like to read some of the statements of some of the Ahlul Ilm. This particular book, the brothers who have Sharh al-Sunnah or Sharh Usul al-Sunnah, it has a number of explanations by some of the scholars in this day and time. One of them, Sheikh Rabi' al-Madkhali, who is one of the senior scholars of this day and time, among Ahl al-Sunnah, who is very cautious that, look, you do not introduce into Allah's deen anything. The deen has to be the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it for us to receive the maximum benefit. We be like the Christians and the Jews, we start slipping in this, slipping in that, interpreting in this way. Nobody in this dunya knew it before, but it's happening. You start this and that, pretty soon, the whole deen that was revealed is changed. And if the source is changed, then the characters that it produces shall not be the same. It will not be the same. And for that reason, there was wisdom in what Imam Malik said. We'll see something of what he said, inshallah, in a few minutes. Sheikh Rabi, when he does his explanation of Usul Sunnah, you know, this is Salah Thamani. It's on page 8, for the brothers who have it. Now, he mentions here that Usul Sunnah, the foundations of the Sunnah, with us. He's mentioning the statement of Imam Ahmad first, is to adhere to what the companions were upon, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Khilafan li ahl al bid'ah," not like the people of innovation. فَإِنَّهُمْ يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, because they follow their desires. وَيَعْتَمِدُونَ عَلَىٰ أُقُولِهِمُ الْفَاسِدَةِ, and they depend on their corrupt intellects. أَوْ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يَعْتَمِدُونَ عَلَىٰ لَغَةِ الْعَرَبِ, and some of them claim that we're dependent on the Arabic language. You think it's sufficient for you, you can be a Zamakhshari. Right? You can be, have the genius of Zamakhshari, that Mu'tazili. I mean a grammarian, and be misguided like he was. It's not sufficient to have the Arabic language. You know, some people think that as long as you speak Arabic language, you're a scholar. Don't ever think so. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab were more eloquent than they were. They were more eloquent than they were. When Allah sends down Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab, the companions didn't understand some of the verses of the Quran in spite of their language. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to teach them. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. We have sent down the reminder to you so that you may make clear what has been revealed to the people so they may take in heed. Also that they may take heed. This is directed to the Arabs, first and foremost, and then everybody else. They had the language. Why was it necessary for the Prophet ﷺ to explain it if they knew it already? So it's not sufficient simply because a person speaks Arabic that he's a sheikh. It's a matter of fact. One of the things that the Prophet ﷺ feared most for this ummah was a munafiq alimul lisan, a hypocrite who's extremely eloquent. He could break it down to you, but his minhaj is corrupted. So we have to get bypass those simple surface things and get on the principles of the manahij of Ahlul Ilm. The principles of the Sunnah. So that simply because someone comes in and he could rap Arabic, you start saying, alright, mashallah. You see him going wrong in mashallah because he speaks Arabic? That's why we need to learn the usuls, the foundations of the sunnah, so that when the people come with the rap, we have the principles and the foundations and sound. You know, when you have a strong foundation, Abu Amir knows better than I do. Right? The other things will be a little bit firm. Would you try building these walls on sand? Won't stand up with nothing. With anything. The Sheikh mentions, he said, these people, some of them depend on the language, the Arabic language. أَوْ غَيْرِهَا مِنَ الْقِيَاسَاتِ الْفَاسِدَةِ, and other types of deduction that they use. Well, you know, if this is like that, then this is like that. No. Well, why can't you? That type of stuff. He said, look, man, Allah's messenger said. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look, ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء. We have left nothing out of the book. In the book. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Allah has completed the deen, completed it and perfected His favors on us. How are you going to add to what Allah has perfected and completed? So we need then to understand these fundamentals. When people start coming with these additional stuff that the companions didn't have, nobody didn't have, and saying it's alright. It's not alright. The Shaykh says, as for Imam Ahmad wa salafuhu, wa man salafu min as-sahaba. As for Imam Ahmad, and those who preceded him from the Sahaba and Tabi'een, wa a'immatul Islam, and the Imams in Islam, فَإِنَّ الدِّينَ الَّذِي يَتَمَسَّكُونَ بِهِ وَكِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. For surely the deen that they adhered to was the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَا سِيَمَا فِي مَجَالِ الْعَقِيدَةِ. Especially when it comes to our belief system. Especially when it comes to our belief system. فَهُمْ لَا يَخْرُجُونَ عَنْ ذَلِكْ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. وَفِي ذَلِكَ الْهُدَى الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. They do not go outside of that, and in that is straight guidance. This is the way Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa, all of them on this particular asas. Their students, many of them deviated after them. Became a Sha'ira, Maturidiya, this type of thing, that the next type of thing, but the A'imma were not like that. At all. Says here, وَالِقْتِدَاءُ بِهِمْ and following them. الْإِقْتِدَاء بِأَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ following the companions of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَهُمُ الْقُدْوَةِ. They are the right example. They are the right example. وَهُمُ الْأُسْوَةِ and pattern to be followed. وَيُشِيرُ إِلَى الْحَدِيثِ. And this indicates to the hadith, alaykum bi sunnati. Alaykum is one of the expressions in the Arabic language actually that implies compulsion. There are different expressions that imply compulsion or indicate that you have to do something. Some wajibun, amrun, haqqun, alaykum. In other words, you have no choice. The Prophet ﷺ says, alaykum, yani adhere to it, stick to it. Sunnati, my sunnah. Then he said, وَسُنَّةَ لَخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِبِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. Then he said, and the sunnah of the Khulafa'i al-Rashideen, they were on the sunnah. They want the sunnah. And this points out the fact that they want the sunnah. Says here, stick to it with your nawajis, yani bite on it with your teeth. The premolars here, you know when you want to bite on something and you hold it tight, you put it in between you, oh yeah, bite on it. As if you're holding on for dear life. Well, iyakum. Iyakum is what they call yani uslubu tahdhir. It shows warning. And stay away from or be aware of every newly thing that is introduced into this deen. Every new thing that is introduced into this deen. If it wasn't there during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter how simple it seems, stay away from it. Don't ever think an innovation is something like. We have gone over the time a little bit, inshallah. We'll continue with time after. No, no, I'm saying when we will continue.
After Maghrib.
After Maghrib?
After Maghrib, yeah.
Inshallah, after Maghrib, inshallah, we continue. Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.